Do you have a loved one that might need a little extra care? Check out Regency on the Lake. Located in Fort Gratiot, Regency on the Lake offers the latest healthcare services with rehab, respite, and long-term care. 810-385-7260.
All right, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock here on this Monday morning. It was last month that the FDA gave its first go-ahead for fruit-flavored vapes, e-cigarettes, saying that they're less harmful than nicotine or regular traditional cigarettes. Joining us right now to talk more about this and help answer some of the questions that are surrounding this this ruling, Chief Medical Officer at Blue Care Network, Dr. Peter Graham. Dr. Graham, good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you being with us. Let's first talk a little bit about the health risks of vaping, because I think a lot of people tend to think that it's quote unquote safe, or compared to traditional cigarettes, safer. What are the effects of vaping on lung health?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. It's a great question. And, you know, the logic that the FDA put forward is that, you know, vaping is less harmful than using tobacco, which is kind of debatable based on the science. But what we know about vapes, and there are a couple things we have concerns about. First is that the approval of fruit-flavored vapes really puts children at risk. We do know that things that are sort of fruity, tasty, sweet tend to be attractive to kids, and we really don't want kids getting started with anything that kind of leads down the path to nicotine use, which is a real worry. The other thing to think about with vaping, you know, the human lungs are really designed to inhale air and slightly moistened air, and that's about it. And anytime you introduce other types of particulate, and because of the way vape technology works, not to overly get into the details, but basically uses a highly heated element to aerosolize other compounds, you end up with some cancer-causing chemicals that you're inhaling. Some things like nickel, tin, and lead, heavy metals, which are not really good to have in your body anywhere. And some of the flavorings that get used are themselves potentially carcinogenic, like diacetyls. And last but not least, nicotine itself is not a completely benign substance. We know that, you know, particularly with folks with anxiety issues, some folks with blood pressure problems, things like that, nicotine is a stimulant, tends to be a little counterproductive. So there's several reasons we're concerned about people using vapes.
You mentioned these fruit-flavored vapes tend to be attractive to kids. And talk maybe a little bit about the effects of these products on young developing bodies.
Well, yeah, that's a great question. It's still sort of an unknown. We've got rafts of research on what nicotine does to adults going clear back to the, you know, 1950s. For ethical reasons, it's not something people have studied really heavily in children and adolescents, so we just don't have a lot of great knowledge about what kind of impact nicotine has on the developing brain, and really don't want to turn our kids into lab rats. You know, the other things we do know is that nicotine has adverse effects on relationships, particularly inside families and school performance, particularly nicotine dependence. So in and of itself, what we know is already concerning, and there's a lot that we don't know, and there's a lot of potential for harm.
Let's talk about parents. What is their role? What should they be looking for? Because the thing about vapes is that they're so much easier to conceal. You don't smell like an ashtray if you've been using a vape. What do you want parents to understand?
Yeah, I was going to say, most of us who grew up in the 70s, 80s, you know, experienced trying to get home without smelling like an ashtray.
Right.
It's a lot easier to get away with that with vaping. You know, a couple things that are helpful to parents. One of the first things I'd point to, and it is in the MyBlueDaily.com website, a guide to it, there's an American Lung Association vaping conversation guide, which is really designed specifically to help parents talk to kids about vaping. So that's great research. Just know that that's there. I think the things that parents need to think about, and this is true of any other kind of health topic, but particularly around this, and, you know, having raised three kids myself with a lot of help from the spouse, you know, you don't want to come across as angry or scaremongering the rest. You really want to be somebody knowledgeable. You want to be what we term authoritative rather than authoritarian. You're really there to help kids make good decisions. You know, be very calm, be very open, find a time and place where it's comfortable for them to talk. You know, they don't want to be in the middle of something with their friends or their siblings. So, you know, practice it, role playing. It makes us uncomfortable sometimes, but walking through it with somebody else you can trust and kind of model out that conversation is very helpful. You know, a couple other real finer points. I think we have to acknowledge that kids that age, particularly when they get, you know, past middle school age, realistically, they're starting to make their own decisions. And we're going to have to acknowledge that and acknowledge their independence a little bit. Try to hear their side of things a little bit. They've got some perspectives on it. They may need a little additional information, but usually people do things for what they think are rational reasons, and children and adolescents are no exception. Don't come down on them hard if they have already tried vapes or other types of substances. That's not what they need. They need support and need understanding of what that does to their health. Last but not least, put the blame in the right place. This isn't about your kids being intentionally defiant. This is really about big tobacco and those folks trying to market something to them, and they're very successful at it.
They are indeed. Were you surprised when you learned that the fruit-flavored vapes had been authorized by the FDA?
Yeah, I think a lot of us in the field are surprised and dismayed. I can't think of an organization more tuned into caring about children than the American Academy of Pediatrics. And you know, if they had said flat out this is something that worries them and the science is really worrisome, that was really disappointing.
You mentioned a website where you have more information available. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, that's miBlueDaily.com. It's got some great information there. It's also got links to some CDC information and resources for helping kids with both vaping and tobacco use. So a good site.
All right, we'll check it out. Dr. Graham, thanks so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Happy to be here.
All right, bye-bye.